saw Jimmy's last fight. I don't think he'd pull out of it.
I saw more. I took him home. He talked crazy talk all the way home and kept it up for 2 days.
No doctor?
They had one at the stadium. He said something to Jimmy's trainer, Jerry Marshall, but nothing to me. All he said was complete rest for 2 weeks.
Well, the papers show the 2 weeks are up, plus 2 weeks more.
Jimmy's fighting for the title of murder. Any fight he has from now on can kill him. I know. It happened to Pops, and it'll happen to Jimmy.
That strong guy again, Steve Strong. Yeah, that's what they call you, but right now you don't feel so strong. You're in Pug's Bar watching the boxing on TV. The telephoto lens is giving you a close-up of Jimmy Benson's face, a moving portrait, the battered face of a beaten fighter, a boy who's going down for the count. You've seen him fall, and you've seen him fall hard, but this one's different. You see the shadow of death creep into the face on the TV screen. You watch the tired face take another blow from the slugger's glove. You see the face fall, a tired, sagging fall into oblivion. And the shadow of death takes up the referee's count. And you know Jimmy Benson's got a bigger fight to win. A fight for life. But you're in for a shock. And 4 weeks later, the headlines hit you in the face. And they hit you hard.
Al Topak to promote Jimmy Benson in title fight.
It's in the afternoon edition. And she throws it on your desk. Jimmy Benson's kid sister. Small, dark hair, big brown eyes. And only a kid. But there's a ball of fight in her, and it's coming out fast.
One blow from Dacca's glove will kill Jimmy. I know it will.
I saw Jimmy's last fight. I didn't think he'd pull out of it.
I saw more. I took him home. He talked crazy talk all the way home, and he kept it up for 2 days.
No doctor?
He had one at the stadium. He said something to Jimmy's trainer, Jerry Marshall, but nothing to me. All he said was complete rest for 2 weeks.
The papers show the 2 weeks is up, plus 2 weeks more.
Jimmy's fighting for the title is murder. Any fight he has from now on can kill him. I know. It happened to Pops, and it'll happen to Jimmy.
Shader Benson was a great fighter.
But he was killed in the ring. Is that being great?
That's a part of the risk, but he fought fair.
I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of any man who's got a fight to earn a living.
The ring makes it a sport.
You can call that a sport when they're going to stand Jimmy up to be killed.
Maybe the doctor's report wasn't so bad as you think.
Huh, doctor's report. I tried to find him since. He's gone out of town. He's gone out of town because Al Topak sent him.
This Jerry Marshall, he's Jimmy's trainer?
Was. Al Topak had him relieved. He figures Jerry will go soft. At least that's the way I see it.
And what does Jimmy say?
I haven't seen him for 2 weeks and more. I never talked it with him yet. But I was going to after the 2 weeks rest was up. But these men beat me to it. Said they'd come to give Jimmy a rest in the country. A wealthy fan was paying for it, they said. Ha! They said a lot, and I believed them. And now the wealthy fan turns out to be Al Topak.
Man who promotes the champion.
He's a kingpin of a betting syndicate, that's all. No one knows exactly who he is. The name's a cover. He could be a Wall Street tycoon for all we know.
But he's got a reputation for making chance.
And I still say it's a setup.
Or else he doesn't know Jimmy's a busted fighter.
You saw Jimmy's last fight. What do you think?
He could have won if he hadn't slipped. Even the paper said that.
You know all that. I mean, the beating he took from the slugger.
I thought the same as you. But now, with Al Topak promoting Jimmy, I say I could be wrong.
Then if you think that, a lot of other people will start thinking it, which is what Al Topak wants. Can't you see? It's a perfect pointer for a setup. He promotes Jimmy, they make Jimmy favorite. Dacca's price blows, and Topak's side bettors move in and make a cleanup.
If Dacca wins.
If Dacca wins, he can't lose. One tap like the Dodo gave Pops, and Jimmy takes the count for good. And Topak wins a bundle in betting.
You could be wrong. Like I said, the doctor's report may not have been so serious.
With the doctor suddenly gone out of town indefinitely.
What about Jerry Marshall?
He won't see me.
Why?
Same reason, I guess.
Al Topak?
Al Topak's name will shut any mouth in the city.
Well, maybe I can relieve his lock, Jor.
You'll see Jerry Marshall.
I like you. I don't like murder. Inside or outside the ring. You leave Stellar, you get your convertible, and start driving downtown. Today, you've got the hood down. The sun's beating in on the back of your neck. You feel the wind running cool fingers of softness through your hair. There's a big blue sky above you. Everything in the day points to laughter and fair weather. But every streetlight, every daylight neon reminds you of the glitter in Stella's dark eyes. The glitter you saw come from the eyes filled with tears. The tears of fear. A kid sister's fear for a brother. You spin the wheel suddenly and swing the car towards Jim Daly's office at Homicide Headquarters. You figure he may be able to give you a shortcut to a lead on Topek without you having to jump too many queries and raised eyebrows from Jim Daly. But with his first answer, you know you should have known better.
You want to know about Al Topek?
Why? I just thought I'd kick around a few questions.
You only kick questions around for a reason. So why the interest in Al Topek?
Well, I want to place a bet on the coming fight. I want to know just how good Topek is at promoting a fighter.
You're asking me about betting and boxing, and I see one fight to your 10? No, Steve. I know you're better than that.
How much better?
Like you're playing a fight for a client. Someone who's interested in Al Topek.
You could be wrong.
Sure. I could be. But I'm not.
So I've got a client interested in knowing about Al Topek. Well, that's not breaking the law.
No. Wanting to know about him isn't. But it's the reason behind your client wanting to know that could be breaking the law.
All right, so I'll level with you. You believe anything I tell you?
Let's say I just don't believe all you tell me.
All right. Take what you like out of this. I believe... no straight evidence, mind you. Mm-hmm. I can only suspect. But I think Al Topek is setting Jimmy Benson up for a knockout. But Jimmy Benson's going to be the one knocked out. Knocked out to the count of death.
Inside or outside the ring?
Catch fast. Inside.
Who's your client?
That I don't have to divulge.
Now listen, Strong.
Steve.
This time it's Strong. Because if you're holding out on stuff I should know, and Benson does go for the full count, you are going behind bars.
That and my client's name is all I know. Now, what do you know about Al Topek?
Well, nothing.
Now he's playing the dumb tongue act.
It's the truth. On record, he's only a name. The nom de plume of a boxing promoter. He's kept his identity a secret. But this I do know.
Well, go on.
So far, he's played the fight game straight.
Jim Daly paints a piece of white over the dark shadows of suspicion. And you start thinking you could be wrong. Stella could be wrong. But then you remember Jimmy Benson's face on the TV screen. You remember the doctor's report and his sudden trip abroad. You know they all add up to a package of circumstantial evidence. But you know there's one man who can maybe give you the answers. The man you were going to see before you called on Jim Daly. The man who refused to speak to Stella. Jerry Marshall. The man who trained Jimmy Benson.
Sure. I'm Marshall. You want a fitness course?
He's old now, but he's got the build, and his face has the broken sculptor of a boxer's face.
Pays to keep fit.
You mean Jimmy Benson?
I wouldn't know. He's not my boy anymore.
You know what the doctor said after his last fight?
He told me a story, yes.
Feel like repeating it?
No. He told it to me.
But you told it to Al Topek.
I did nothing.
There's some old belief.
I told you, I know nothing.
You mean Al Topek's given you a short memory?
You think what you like.
I will. Like, how much did Topek pay you?
I got nothing, I said. Topek just took my boy. That's all I know.
Topek himself?
No, he keeps in the shadows. He sent for Jimmy.
Just the name, huh? Topek. And he sells the best brand of stick jaw in town.
Just leave me alone.
And it is a setup.
I told you, I know nothing.
And I'm telling you, it's getting monotonous.
You can't make me talk.
You reckon, huh? All right, how about...
Let go of my arm.
It's judo, Marshal. We learned this in the Army.
Yeah, and this was the... Ha! Sorry, mister. But I was one of the Army instructors who taught you guys.
I should have known.
So you see, you can't make me talk.
You go out into the street. You stand on the Third Avenue pavement. You stand there and figure in the middle of a dead end. And then you feel a hand clutching at your sleeve.
You mister, follow me quick now.
You follow the shadow of what was once a boxer, the jumping bundle of nerves of a man who took one too many. A man who lives in a life of punch-drunk shadows. You follow him into the quiet of a small dark alley, and you catch onto the jumble of words he throws.
You Jimmy's friend?
Sure.
Say it quick before anyone comes.
I'm Jimmy's friend.
All right, I believe you.
So?
So I got something to tell you.
About Jimmy?
And Topek, too. I must say it before anyone comes.
No Topek?
No one sees Topek. But I heard them say where they was taking Jimmy.
Who?
Topak's men. They were talking to Jerry.
And they said?
They said plenty. But they didn't think Punchy was listening. No one takes no notice of Punchy.
I'm listening.
But you're a friend of Jimmy's, and he always listened to Punchy. That's why I'm telling you what I know.
Sure, sure, Punchy, but what are you telling me?
That they took Jimmy up to Labor's Crossing.
Well, where's that?
Over the river, sort of an estate.
Training camp.
Yeah, that's it. Up at Labor's Crossing, half-hour drive from the stadium.
Yeah, what else they said?
About Jimmy?
Did they mention the doctor's report?
Yeah, that's what I got to tell you. I heard what the doc tells Jerry. I was taking off Jimmy's gloves. Jimmy was out cold, see?
Yeah.
Well, I'm coming to it. The doc says, one more punch on the right temple, and Jimmy Benson goes down for good. That's his voice. I memorized them, so I wouldn't forget. That's because I'm Jimmy's friend.
You want to stay Jimmy's friend?
Louis, I didn't say nothing, did I, mister? Did I?
You're busy listening to Punchy telling you the doctor's report, and you don't hear the strong arm creeping up behind you. He's big. And the .45 he's holding feels like a cannon in the middle of your back.
Tell him I didn't say nothing.
You turn your head and you see the hard face of the tough twist into a slow, sardonic smile. And you know he's heard. But you wonder just how much.
Honest, I didn't say nothing, Louis. I didn't, did I, mister?
Not a thing. I just keep talking, Mr. Strong.
So you know my name, huh?
Boy, you're well known in these parts.
Yeah, my price for fame.
You got a price, Strong?
For what?
For what Punchy told you?
Like I said, he told me nothing.
All right. How much for nothing?
Haven't you heard? I don't take bribes.
Don't say that, mister. Don't get him nasty. I saw him nasty once.
Keep talking, Punchy. Educate Mr. Strong.
I don't know nothing.
That you did talk, Punchy. I heard you.
I tell you, I said nothing.
Nothing. Like what the doc said about Benson having a soft skull.
Honest, Louie, I... Don't, Louie. I won't say it again.
Don't kill me, son, or you get it, too.
I figure I'll still get it.
If you don't learn a lesson, you will.
And a lesson?
How to close a trip.
If I don't learn?
I close it for you. For good.
Like you did for Punchy?
Oh, he'll come round. You won't.
And if I say I learn?
You get $10,000 and a ticket to Havana.
I don't like Havana.
Uh-huh. And $10,000?
I like that.
All right, you take a trip anywhere.
Till after the fight.
Hey, you're learning.
And the money?
And the post tonight.
All right. Here's my answer.
Let go, my God. Let go. Some people will never learn. How do you like the pearly gates, Strong, huh? I wonder at the end. Eh?
Try to grab Louis's gun, but his finger slips on the trigger and a bullet starts walking around inside you. And the pavement sits up and pushes out a big black hole and you fall in. And you keep falling. And then you stop and you're floating on a cloud. And your voices and the pumping sound. And the blackness steps in again.
Yes, Doctor. I'll stand by all night.
You hear the voice coming through a white mist. You feel fingers touching your wrist. You feel something thin and cold push beneath your tongue. And slowly the fog blows away and you're looking into a face only Florence Nightingale would own.
So you decided to save us, Mr. Strong?
What's your name?
You meant that. Most patients say, where am I? Or how long have I been out?
All right, where am I? How long have I been out? And what's your name?
Central Receiving Hospital, 1 week and 2 days, Nancy Parsons.
You've been out nearly 10 days.
We gave you up to us. But you kept coming back for more.
Had no place else to go. It wouldn't take me up top when the devil took one look and told me to get the heck out of Hades, so I came back.
I can believe that.
How's my temp and pulse?
You're mending.
Fast enough to get out of here?
Now, hold on, Mr. Strong. You only regained consciousness 2 minutes ago. You don't mend that fast.
But I gotta get out.
All right. Go ahead.
You mean it?
Yes.
All right. Well... Where's my coat and pants?
In the closet.
Well, go get them.
No. You wanted to get up. You get them.
Okay, I will. Ah. Oh!
my legs.
Well?
All right. You win.
Your secretary warned me you'd try to leave, so I thought you'd better try while I was here to help you get back into bed. Come on.
Right up. Come on. My legs are like jelly.
Give them time. Now you're back. You lost a lot of blood before they found you and brought you in.
Any visitors?
Apart from the police?
Forget them.
Two girls.
Two?
Your secretary.
Sanders.
And a small, dark-haired girl. Wouldn't leave her name.
Stella Benson.
I wouldn't know.
I was thinking out loud.
Your secretary left to get some sleep. They take it in turns. The dark-haired girl's waiting now. What it is you've got, I don't know.
Well, don't tell anyone.
I won't.
Can I see you now?
I guess so. But not for long.
Mr. Strong. Oh, Mr. Strong, I was afraid you...
Not me, kid.
It's all my fault for coming to your office.
I got a sticky nose anyway. But when's the big fight?
Next Friday night.
And today's... What is today? I got to start catching up.
Thursday.
A.M.?
Yeah.
I've got a whole day and I can't walk yet.
What can we do?
Well, you could have tried the police.
I'm scared. Punch is dead.
So they killed him, huh?
I didn't know what to do.
I'll think of something.
If we go to the police, Topak might get his
medicine. Yeah, I know. And Jimmy's a great little fighter.
But we got to do something.
Maybe draw the teeth a little. If you could only find out who Topak was.
The two men who came for Jimmy spoke as though they knew him.
Was one called Louis?
Yeah. Yeah, there was.
And the fight's tomorrow night.
But you can't get up. You're far too weak. Yeah,
maybe tomorrow.
No.
Maybe we can do it. Now, listen. This is what I want you to do. You tell Stella to do three things for you outside, and she leaves. And while you lie back waiting for strength to come back into your legs... You know, Stella is tossing baited lines around town, in the right places and to the right people. You've given her instructions on what to say and where to say it. And all you can do is lie back and hope the fish will rise to the bait. The following day is Friday, the day of the fight. And you see the result of Stella's first job. It comes through the doorway. A big, shiny cabinet delivered to your private single-bed ward.
ED in a patient's bedroom. What will the hospital be doing next?
Well, there's a fight on tonight. I don't want to miss it.
So, you buy a TV set just to watch a prize fight?
I didn't buy it. I just, I'm just trying it out. Tomorrow I say I don't like the cabinet and the firm takes it back. What time do you make it?
5:45.
Funny, Stella not calling to see me today.
The little dark-haired girl?
Yeah. She's doing a few jobs for me yesterday. No need for her to come up and see me, I guess, but, it's strange you didn't come around and see me before the fight.
Maybe your halo of charm has lost some of its brilliance.
Yeah. If she calls, you'll send her right in.
She'll call to see you. She had that look in her eyes when she left yesterday. That look that says, I'd like to see you. I'm coming back.
Stella didn't call around. But towards 8 o'clock that night, you're tuning the TV set onto the fight channel when you get a visitor. But it isn't Stellar. Come right in, Louis. I was expecting you before this.
Well, they thought you were dead. There was nothing in the papers until today.
I don't like publicity.
Well, looks like I'm in time. I see the TV's changed over to the stadium, huh?
Yeah. But there won't be a fight.
There'll be a fight.
Oh, Louis. Not that gun again.
This time the doctor will have to pull a miracle.
You're not staying to watch the fight?
I'm watching it from the ringside.
Now, hold on, Louis. You're not going to switch the set off.
No, just turn up the volume.
Oh, of course. The gunshot.
We're all set to go. We keep celebrity in the end. And there's Mr. Boxing himself. All fight fans know Mr. Barberi, a sportsman with more luck than Midas. And here comes the contender for the welterweight title, Jimmy Benson. That's him you can see coming down the aisle, folks, between the two Huskies.
And you're like the winner.
Second by Evan Zora.
You got him looking, Fitz.
Yeah. And Benson's old fight trainer. A trainer who brought him to top-class fighter until this fight. The biggest fight of Benson's career. A trainer who deserves all the praise, but gets none of the glamour because he lost Benson to Al Topak, the greatest name in boxing history. The name that makes champions. Benson's been stopped by his old trainer now. Yes, we can see him, folks, but we can't hear what he's saying. But we can take it. He's giving Benson some very helpful advice. And there's no one better qualified to give it than Jerry Marshall.
Looks like you forgot one thing, Lee. His old train of sentiments towards the boy. Looks like he told Jimmy about the doctor's report. The report that can kill him. Now, Jimmy won't fight.
Oh, yeah, we told him about the doctor's report, all right. But he also told him to keep fighting, or a bullet says hello to his kid sister. You got to hand it to Topak.
Whatever hold Topak's got over Jerry Marshall, it must be a Lulu.
Yeah, sure, it's a Lulu. A Lulu like he is Topak.
Yeah, his old fight trainer,
Jerry Marshall.
Al Topak. So it figures. When questions are asked after the fight, when Jimmy Benson is dead in the ring, his old trainer says he tried to warn him. And he's got 60 million TV viewers to say he's in the clear.
Yeah, when they go to find Topak?
He's just the name.
Yeah, and there goes Benson. And that nagging fear is already making him touch his right temple. His backer should have heard he should try for Benson's head.
Old setup.
Yeah, pity you won't know it for long.
Hold it, Louie.
What? Jim Daly of Homicide in the towel closet. Meet Louie, no name, tough boy for Al Topak.
Don't turn around, Louie.
And drop the gun, Louie. I've had you covered on the bedclothes ever since you came in.
Drop it.
Anyway, you're too late to stop Benson. He's already in the ring of fight.
And we got a police car with a siren waiting downstairs and a straitjacket for you up here. You dress Louie in his straitjacket and the siren gets you down to the stadium fast. By the time you're inside, your knees are sagging at the seams, but with a bit more sweat, you make it to the ringside. But you make it too late. The fight started.
All right, too late.
You look across at the hunched figure of Jerry Marshall alias Al Topak, the biggest man behind the betting record. Topak's leaning forward, eagerly waiting the payoff. The betting tool that could net him $500,000, maybe. Then you see her, small and scared, between Topak and a big husky gorilla. And there's tears streaming down each of her pale cheeks. Somehow you don't feel weak anymore. Somehow you break through the crowded aisle with Daly close behind you.
John, oh, Mr. John, you'll be killed.
Strong. Why, how
all right,
you...
Topak. Tell your gorilla to go quietly to those two cops at the end of the row. Tell him, Topak.
Do as he says, Rusty. But watch, deploy as he says, Rusty.
You're all right, Topak. You're coming with us.
You've got a warrant.
We ought to arrest you now, Topak. You got a job to do first.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Please, Mr. Strong, do something.
Like what?
Like calling off the fight and giving the reason.
Why, the crowd will pull the base down.
Maybe you with it, Topak.
Please, you killed Jimmy.
Get going, Topak.
I'm right behind you. Look at him in the ring. They've both gone crazy.
He's not defending. He's fighting.
Hurry up, Topak. Get a hold of that towel and throw.
Wait, don't throw it.
You crazy, Steve. Go on, Topak. Throw.
Make him shot, Steve.
Look at Benson. He's taking the fight of the champ. He's got him against the ropes. He's... You get Topak away from ringside. You go with Stetter and Jim to a dressing room at the back of the stadium, and you wait. And then the champ comes in.
Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy.
Jimmy Benson, the new welterweight champion of the world. Later on, you remember the scene in the dressing room with the new champ trying to wipe tears off worship off his kid sister's face. You remember the look in Jimmy Benson's eyes as he hangs up his gloves for the last time. And you remember the fight, a one-round inferno that was Jimmy Benson's only chance, a gamble against death in the ring, a gamble that paid off and won him the championship belt. But more, it won him freedom from a fight racketeer and helped put Topak behind bars. You figure that maybe there are rackets in the fight game, but it's the young courage of fighters like Jimmy Benson that lifts that square of canvas above the slime of the rackets and makes it a good, hard-hitting sport. Like I said, I'm a sentimental, a romantic guy. But I've got a lot of good friends in and out of the force, and I like to keep them. I also like to help keep law and order in the community. I'll be with you again, but for now, this is Steve Strong, or as I'm more often referred to, that strong guy, signing off.